We are joined now by Jackie Stolting. Jackie, welcome back into the golf shop.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. A nice pronunciation of my name.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mark is off playing in some golf tournament, and he's never gotten it right. Never, not once. So, you know, little say my name worked, got us reminded. And as you know, we're here joined in studio by Allison Emery, your fellow tour player from this year.
Hey, Allison, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I hear the last time you guys saw each other was in line at Chipotle. And there was an accident.
Yeah, that was right before the hurricane came, and I left my wallet in Chipotle. I was a little distracted.
Yeah, I can imagine.
My day.
Well, and I saw, as I was following you on social media, how did everything turn out for you guys at home?
We were okay. We lost power for 3 days and had some trees down, but it was not nearly as bad as it was supposed to be. So we were really lucky.
Well, that's good. Well, it didn't take any luck for you to have the season you had this year, and you finished in the top 10. You almost got that Battlefield promotion. We had you on before. We're all super psyched. We love you here in Charlotte. And now you're looking forward to the LPGA season. I know the schedule hasn't been officially released, but, you know, what is your mentality? You've got a little bit of an off season here. You know, what are you working on? What are you most excited about? Let us know what it's like to make that transition for a second time.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get back out there. Last year I really struggled, and I think my biggest reason why I struggled is I just never felt comfortable. I was always at, you know, it was a new tournament every single week, so I was trying to figure out where the locker room was and what the golf course was like. And now I will, you know, I'm sure most of the tournaments I'll have already played, and so I'll feel a lot more comfortable with that. I think the other biggest thing that was a big difference is my mental game. So I'm going to continue to, work on that and be confident in my swing. And I'm taking a little bit of downtime here. I have a few pro-ams, but, playing more than practicing a lot right now. But eventually I'll get back into that. And I think we start at the end of January. So definitely right after the holidays, I'll get myself in major gear of practicing a lot and getting ready to hopefully kick butt out there.
Yeah, now that your answer leads to a lot of follow-up questions. I'm curious, I've heard from other players that the big challenge is, you get out there for your second year on any tour, and you're seeing courses, many of which for the second time, that's a huge advantage. So that, you know, maintaining your card for the second time is a huge advantage. Are you looking forward to certain courses that you played before that you feel like, okay, I left some strokes out there that I can gain now just by being familiar with the layout and how the course is played and where the locker rooms are for that matter?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of times I was so rushed to try and play a practice round that I didn't quite focus on every single hole because I was just so concerned about seeing the whole golf course before I played. And I mean, I missed several cuts, missing by one or two strokes, so I can definitely think of a lot of ways that I can play him better for next year, and I'm really excited. There's a couple of courses, I guess, that I played well last year. I just missed the cut by one or two, and one of them's Phoenix, another one's in Carlsbad. But overall, I mean, I'm just really excited to get back out there, and I just to feel the difference of what it was like last year compared to what it will be like this coming up year.
So this year, so our viewers know, your husband caddied for you on some Metro Tour, and you guys seem to work really well together. So is he going to continue to caddy on the LPGA?
We haven't quite figured out completely if he's going to. He is director of instruction at the golf course that we live at. So we're down in Florida, and so the season is, you know, picking up right now and goes until about May. So he for sure is going to caddy for me in the Bahamas, but then we have a tournament in Australia, and he really was not a fan of that flight last year. I can't imagine why. So he may not come with me to that one, but from there on out, we haven't figured it out. We've had some conversations about it. He caddied for me last year in LPGA, you know, and obviously when I struggled, but then this year he did really well with me on the bag. So I think it was for both of us last year, it was, you know, it was new and trying to find our balance of, you know, he's my caddy and my coach and my husband. And sometimes that can be a little overwhelming. So But this year we did do really well together, and hopefully we can bring that together next year.
Yeah, I would blame him for any of the shortcomings and any of the bad rounds and those missed cuts. So, I mean, he's your instructor, he's your caddy, and he's your husband. I mean, that's the total package. So he gets all the blame. It's not you, it's him. Just get, you know, you should crochet that on a pillow. It's not me, it's you. I am curious, though. You have to look for different things in an instructor and a caddy than you do in a husband. What kinds of things would be really helpful for you in a caddy that maybe, you know, would mix things up for you? Are you somebody who's looking for a lot of information? Are you looking for no information, social interaction, distraction? I mean, you look at the guy who won the web.com, who came off the web.com tour and won last week on the PGA Tour. He said they figured out at the turn that they were in the mix and they made a conscious effort to talk baseball, to talk football, to talk anything but golf, just to keep their minds off the fact that they were in the mix to win this thing, and they went on to win it. What are you looking for in a caddy?
Yeah, I'm a little bit like that I want to almost be a little bit more distracted from golf. This year I had, I think, two runner-up finishes with local caddies, local volunteer caddies in my bag, and they literally just carried my bag, and that was it. So I've realized that I don't require a lot of information. Obviously, when my husband's on the bag, you know, he gets me my numbers. I usually like the front number and then to the green and then the number, obviously, to the hole. And then I, from there, kind of select my club, and I, you know, hopefully, it, you know, if I do have a question, I will ask him. But other than that, I kind of do things on my own, and in between shots, we're talking about other things, and he's trying to keep me positive. But I think that's the biggest thing, is that for me, having a caddy that is very positive and motivates me and is upbeat, because it's real easy to get down on yourself out there, and I think that a caddy can really help bring your self-esteem up.
All right, well, we're talking to Jackie Stolting, the former Symetra player, former LPGA Tour player, and getting ready to go out on the LPGA Tour. Probably going to start at the Pure Silk Bahamas when we find out that the secret schedule, it's not really a secret, is released. Here's what I'm curious. As you start to put your schedule together for this little bit of an off season, you said you're taking time off, you're playing in some pro-ams, but you're not practicing a lot. What will you be working on? I mean, it used to be that the difference between, you know, the good Symetra player and the player who can hang around on the LPGA Tour for a long time was distance. That's not really the case anymore. The distances statistically are not really different. So what are you going to be working on once you turn it up after the holidays to make sure that you're in the best position to have success?
Definitely short game. I think that is probably the biggest thing out on the LPGA, is that everybody gets the ball up and down. If you miss a green, everybody makes birdies. So I will definitely be focusing on probably 100 yards and in, making sure those little wedge shots, you know, I'm very, really comfortable with them. And putting is hard because, you know, I'm putting here on Bermuda greens, but then we don't necessarily play Bermuda all summer. So that's the biggest thing, is going to different courses on tour and adjusting based off the grass and based off the speed. And I think that was one thing I struggled last year was putting, was my speed putting, or lag putting, I guess you could say, that I had too many three putts, and that's something that will drive a golfer absolutely insane. And so I will definitely be working on that coming up here, getting ready for season.
So what will you do when you get to the tournaments to get used to the greens and get acclimated with the different grasses?
Putt and chip a lot. I kind of have a few drills that I do to get comfortable with my speed on the greens. And, I mean, not necessarily spending a lot of time in the short game area, but also spending time putting and chipping out on the course. Because, as you know, Allison, that sometimes the putting or chipping green is not completely the same as out on the golf course. That the golf course greens may be a little bit faster, maybe a little bit bigger. So when I'm playing my practice round, I'm making sure that I'm chipping and putting around the greens a lot.
Yeah, I mean, course designers and the agronomists are sometimes evil with that. They want to create a practice surface that holds up better because it gets more traffic than the playing surfaces. But that is sometimes a little unfair. I mean, as you probably remember at Raintree, we had two putting greens. Neither of them really matched what was going to happen on the north course.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's great for practice to be able, you know, to have a bigger green, but then if you go out there and, you know, there's greens that have slopes, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to practice slopes or, you know, going up a big ridge if the putting green doesn't have that.
Well, when you go out and you play in pro-ams, okay, either on tour, you know, in the early days of your arrival in a city, or even like you said this winter, and you're out there playing with amateurs of different levels, do you ever worry that watching people suck is going to ruin your game?
That's probably the number one question, or maybe number one statement I get is, do not watch me. I don't want to ruin your swing. But I have pretty much seen it all.
Yeah?
Seen the ball go backwards.
Nice.
Seen the ball go sideways. but it really doesn't bother me. And my biggest thing with pro-ams is, you know, a lot of times, especially on tour, that's how we have our tournament is that's how it's funded is
right.
These pro-ams, and we wouldn't be able to be there without them. So my thing is if I can help them out a little bit by giving them one little tip, or a couple tips while I'm out there, then I've done my job, and hopefully they've enjoyed their day. But it really, to me, it doesn't bother me to watch any kind of swing.
Yeah, I mean, if your game is so fragile that watching me suck at golf is going to ruin your career, you might want to, you know, tidy up that resume.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
You're probably not strong. Well, you say giving tips. Do you sort of wait around and see if the amateurs would be receptive to a tip and ask for something? I mean, is there sort of an etiquette to that?
Yeah, I kind of try and feel it out. You know, if I have my husband here, it's great because I just tell them, hey, he's a swing instructor. So if you guys have any questions, go for it.
and they're like, what do you mean? I swing awesome. What do you mean? What do you mean? What's wrong with my swing?
But if I'm by myself, you know, sometimes I kind of feel it out. Like if someone's like, oh, man, why'd I go right? And I just say, well, if you want any help, I'm more than willing to look at your swing or help you out here. I can sometimes feel it out. I can also tell if they want no help. So, you know, I just try and feel it out and kind of see what their thoughts are. But I don't ever try and just say, well, you did this wrong. I usually kind of say, well, would you like help?
Do you ever suggest they take up tennis?
My dad says, you ever see anybody with a terrible golf swing, you should just tell them to pick up tennis.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, you could probably save some people a lot of heartache by just letting them, just rip the Band-Aid off, you know, tell them to get in their car and say, Siri, nearest pawn shop. I'm going to get rid of these clubs.
Or putt-putt. I mean, right. You can still play putt-putt.
There is always putt-putt. Yeah, you could be a golfer and just, you know, limit yourself to hitting it through the dinosaur's legs. That may be my next move. I have not played much this year. But I did play one round a couple months ago. I can't really call it a round because it was five holes. And I did ask Siri where the nearest pawn shop was when I got in my truck. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to give this up. I'm going to take my clubs and I'm going to sell them and I'm going to buy something else with them. So I'm going to have a new hobby. But hope springs eternal. I played pretty well yesterday, so.
You always come back, good. Right?
Well, that's the beauty of golf. You have that one monster shot, and you're like, well, I should be able to do that every time, right? It's repeatable.
Yes, and that's what brings you back every single time.
Yeah,
that one perfect shot.
And that's what separates people like you and Allison from people like me, that you can actually repeat it, and I have no idea why it happened. It was just lightning in a jar, one time, greatest, most lucky thing ever. So, as you put the schedule together, we're talking a little bit, Allison and I, off air about the new sort of elimination of Q School, and you know it's interesting on the women's side compared to the men's side. The men's side, the barrier to entry is so high. These guys, they grind out there on the web.com tour, they earn their cards, and then they can't get into any events. What do you see as you're looking at the announcement of the schedule? How many events do you think you're going to be able to get into, and are there events you're going to avoid, or are you going to try to play them all?
So last year with my status, I think I got into 18 events. So I'm guessing it's going to be around the same this next year. And most likely I will play in everything that I can get into,
Except
at the beginning of the year. Because at the beginning of the year, if you play well, you can get into a couple of the majors. So it's based off of how you play out there. But I will try and play as much as I can, kind of like what you said, just to get in as much as you can and make money and hopefully keep your card.
Yeah, and keeping the card is the challenge, and it's sort of interesting because you have to balance the need to keep your card and keep your job with the reality that this can be a short run and going, you know, you go to a new place and you're tempted to go check out the restaurants and check out the nightlife and check out the shopping. And I mean, are you one of those people who feels like you've found your balance between being a tourist and enjoying a place and just head down grinding? You don't even know what city you're in.
My biggest thing is that if I'm out on the golf course for 8 hours every single day, I will not be a professional golfer. I'm more of a quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
So usually in an off day for me, even on this Metro Tour, I may go out there for 3 hours and practice and then go do something. Either if it's go see a movie or go get a pedicure, or if we're in a really cool city, go see something about that city that, you know, I have to remember that, like you said, sometimes this can be a short-lived job.
Right.
And I may never be in some of these places ever again in my life. And so if I'm in, you know, say Australia, I'm going to take advantage and at least maybe take one afternoon off and go see where I'm at.
Right. So are there places, can you come up with one place before we let you go that you're looking forward to visiting a second time, even if it's just a restaurant or a bar or a spa or whatever? Is there some one place that you know you're going to visit again this year that you're excited about?
Hawaii.
Hawaii, just in general.
I just loved it there.
Just
yeah.
All of Hawaii.
Yes. I mean, the golf course was all right. It wasn't anything spectacular. But
right.
Hawaii in general, it was just beautiful and breathtaking, and I just loved it being there, so I'm looking forward to going back.
Yeah, I had a feeling it wasn't going to be Arkansas. If you're picking a state, it might not be Arkansas.
I really did like Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really fun tournament, too.
No, there's good stuff in every state, but it's hard to compare with Hawaii.
Exactly.
All right, Jackie. Well, as always, thank you for joining us. We're so excited for you. We're looking forward to it. We'll be watching you and wishing you luck and sending you good mojo and all of that Golf Shop Radio bump.
Thank you so much, and good luck to Allison at Q School. Hopefully you're joining me out there next year.
Yes, I hope so. Good luck next year.
Yeah, see you at Chipotle.
Thank you.
Take care, Jackie.